Let's turn to John chapter 1. So as you go there to John 1, I want to talk about what the next few weeks will look like in terms of like believers around the world. We have another week of the Advent season. We're in the fourth week. This is the week of peace. And so if you have our devotional, if you don't have it, you can still pick one up. We're in the fourth week, but you can just jump right in right away. We'll be reading scriptures and some devotional thoughts written by our own folks here, all centered around the idea of biblical peace. Which is not just the absence of conflict. It is God taking things that are fractured and broken and making them whole again. Not just putting them back together, but making them as if they were never broken in the first place. That's what true peace is. And so we'll join with believers all around the world in the last week here. We'll come together on Christmas Eve and light the candle in the center. It's the Christ candle. So we'll be here next Sunday morning at 10:30, and also we'll have a service at 5. Those will be identical services, and so you can pick one or you can pick both. It's up to you. We won't have childcare for that. It's not going to be a long service, and it's actually super appropriate to hear babies making noises on Christmas Eve, right? So we welcome that, and so that'll be next Sunday. We'll light the Christ candle. But this thing that happens the next day is that's actually when Christmas starts. Right now is Advent. We're waiting. Christmas begins on the 25th. And on the church calendar, it's a 12-day season. And so there are Christians all around the world who will spend the next 12 days actually celebrating the birth of Christ. So culturally, we kind of start around Halloween at this point, you know, with Christmas and everything. And if you were to be really hardcore about it, like the super devout, hardcore people with church calendar, like they don't put up a decoration until Christmas Eve. They don't do anything. They don't sing a Christmas carol. They don't do anything until then. And then they just go crazy for like 12 days. And so we have been thinking as a staff the last couple of weeks that we put a lot into Advent. And then Christmas gets here and it's kind of like, all right, well, see ya at Lent. You know, like we don't really have a big like plan what to do in there. So last year we started thinking like, well, you know, churches do stuff to celebrate Christmas. Like those 12 days, let's figure out what happens and what would be a good fit for us. And so our staff is really excited to help maybe put some structure to what the Christmas season can look like, but not in a way that's like draining to you, hopefully. We're not going to do another devotional. We're not going to do any of the same Advent things. That Advent is great, and it does exactly what it needs to do. So we were like, how do you celebrate Christmas? And really, Christmas, that season of 12 days, centers around two things. One is feasting, and the other is blessing. And what a lot of believers do is they try to find a way during those 12 days, like how can we feast together and how can we bless other people? And you can also feast on blessings, right? Like these blessings that you've written for the kids at Hope of Life will be a feast for them, right? So it's not even just feasting with food. It's like how do we just find a way, because like Jesus has come to us and he is with us, how do we bring that in tangible ways to other people? And so what we have done as a staff is we've put together this little packet, and it's adorable. It is what we want to do is we want to try to like equip us as a church to not end Advent and not really think about it anymore, but to have Advent propel us into Christmas and find how do we bless and feast. And because it's 12 days, there are churches who do it this way, is that you find 12 people that you want to bless and feast with. in different ways. It shows up differently. It's not necessarily like your core group. It could be your core group, but it's kind of like a, well, let me think around my life a little bit. It could be that you go to the same grocery store and you see the same cashier really regularly. Maybe you're buddies with your like mailman, mailwoman person. Maybe there's like a coworker or a neighbor that you've not quite, you like kind of started to connect, but they're not really sure. So you think around your life, you identify 12 people. And you're like, I want to just bless them. You could bless them with food. You could bless them with money. You could bless them with words of encouragement. You could bless them in so many different ways, and it'll be different for every different kind of person. And so what we did was put this packet together, and it walks you through everything that we think that it would be good for you to know and maybe how to do this. So there's an explanation letter. There's instructions. We have this card that says "My 12 people," and so you like figure out who your people are. This would be fantastic for a family to do, for a married couple to do, for you to think around your life. An individual can do it. There's really no rules. So you have your 12 people. We have cards for you already. You don't have to get your own cards. We have a blessing, like it's the blessing card. It says, as we celebrate the coming of our Lord during Christmas, I am praying this blessing over you. And it has a blessing that's there. And it's a way for you to like say like, hey, I'm praying this right here for you. And so it can go in the card. It can be separate from the card. There's ideas. There's like just variety of ideas to figure out. We just wanted to put everything in one little packet so that you could take it and you could really think, okay, now that Christmas is here, how do we take that to our world? And we, as a staff, have found ourselves wondering, like, how could God use something as simple as, like, hi, neighbor, I made you these cookies, and you wrote them a card in it, and it has that I'm praying this blessing over you card in it. And you just leave it with them. Like, who knows if that is the thing you've been looking for? Of like, how do I break in a little bit more? How do I connect here with a coworker or different people? It could be a total stranger. You could say, hey, I don't even know you, but I feel like I just want you to know that I'm praying a blessing over you. All of it is in these packets. And so when you leave today, we're not going to force you to take one, but we would love for you to take one. And some of our youth are going to be posted up at our exits, and they'll have those packets for you, and it should explain everything in there. We wanted to do as much of the legwork as possible because we're waiting for something, and now that it's happened, the world needs to know. And I am not at all trying to imply that you are not bringing the kingdom to your world, okay? What I am saying, though, is this is the time where the church can really, like, go for it, and we wanted to try to help facilitate that and maybe give you and your family or a group of friends or something to rally around where we could put legs to it. And so we are very excited about it and hope that you will just try it. It's the first time, so we're kind of a big learning curve here, and to see exactly how God can maybe use this time for us. So that is not at all like an announcement. That is like hey, this is what Christians are doing all around the world. We're just going to join them in this way. So hope that you will do that. John chapter 1 is the sermon text for the next couple of minutes. And if you've been here the last few weeks, it's been kind of a interesting, like not necessarily the way I thought it would go, sermon series during Advent. We've been looking at a lot of the things surrounding the second coming of Christ and the new heavens and the new earth and his actual return and a lot of the lore kind of around that, and how we're kind of a mixture sometimes of like, I can't wait for the second coming of Christ. And then sometimes it's like, yeah, but what about all the terrible parts of the Bible that are supposed to happen first? And we don't really like all that. And so if you are interested in all the stuff in Revelation and all these things, and what about the Antichrist, and what about this, and world events, and Armageddon, and all that stuff, I've covered that the last couple of weeks. Go back and listen to it or watch it. Today, I want to just be a little lighter, if that's possible, because that stuff is the whole... everything about the future, whether his return is really, really close or maybe it's not even in our lifetime. Everything in the Bible that's written was written to people who were facing difficulty. And one of the themes is like, hey, everything's going to be fine. Like, God wins. Like, Jesus is victorious in this moment. Jesus does not have to come back here and fight another battle. He's already won it. And you might remember last week, one of the images in Revelation is like Jesus shows up at the end of the book and he's on a white horse, which is symbolic in that kind of literature for victory, and he's covered in blood. He is not showing up to fight. He's showing up. He has already fought. And so right now, this victorious Jesus is reigning and ruling over all things. And the making it all, like bringing it all to a close is down the line. It's not something for us to fear. It's something for us to anticipate. And the Bible's written to people of like, hey, you need to be faithful during that time. And so if we look at how that all factors in, there's this one verse. So last week, I think I covered like 60-something verses. This today, just do one. How about that? John chapter 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This right here is one of the great themes of Scripture. One theme I just said a minute ago is that God wins, okay? Like evil does not win. All the things that we look at right now that are happening in our world, all the darkness that's there, the darkness does not win. It says in John 1 that Jesus is the light of the world, that light entered the darkness and the darkness cannot overcome it. That's one of the themes. No matter what things look like right now, no matter how much it weighs on us emotionally, no matter how things feel or appear to be, no matter what is happening, Jesus is the victor. Always, always, always. One of the other themes from the beginning of the Bible all the way till now is this right here. Is God dwelling among us? That God creating us, everything is about him being with us together. And so let's look at this verse for a few minutes. It says, the Word became flesh. You'll notice that it's a capital W on Word. I, for a long time, thought that it was the Bible, so that the Bible became a person, and that's not correct. That word in Greek is logos, and I talked a lot about this last year during Advent, but John is writing, he would have had different audiences. Sometimes it would be a Jewish audience who was reading it. Sometimes it would be a Gentile audience, so they would have like a Greek or a Roman kind of background. And those groups thought that word right there, logos, means to, they would have thought of two different things. The Jews were really like passionate about the words of God being something to treasure and something that's very powerful. And so for like in the Jewish community, it goes back to the beginning of the Bible. It goes back to Genesis 1 and God speaking creation and speaking order into this chaotic thing and like creating this space for humans to then be able to flourish, and he did it all with his words. And so in the Jewish community, the words of God are, absolutely precious. And also he wrote them a book. And so the first five books of the Bible, the Torah, to them, the Torah is also this treasured thing. And so to them, it's the words of God. It's the fact that God gave them his words. Like he wants to be with us, so he wrote his words down so we could hold them and read them and study them. And so that's what Logos had a lot to do with in the Jewish community. It's about the words of God and how powerful and like treasured they are. In a Greek or Roman context, it was all about reason. And so like in a very like Star Wars universe kind of way, they thought that reason was basically like the Force. And so reason was this, like there is an order and a structure to the universe that something is giving the bones to like everything that we're doing. Everything is like the origin of life and the meaning of life, and everything comes from somewhere. And to them, it was reason with like a capital R. That's what Logos was to them. And so they would basically say that like the Force was like a real thing, and that was like how they factored into life and understood life and everything. So what John is doing here when he says the word became flesh, both groups would have said, hold on. The Jews would have said, so you're telling me that the words of God, like the words of God that we treasure and are so powerful and strong, that those became a person? And the Greeks and the Romans would say, like, so you're saying that the Force, this like reason that gives structure and meaning to everything, this like unseen, like lack of substance kind of thing, but it's like this higher power that's out there, became a person? And the answer would be yes. So John writes this one sentence that's able to hit both groups and say, you're both right to a certain extent. Because God's words are powerful, and he did bring order to chaos by speaking those things, and yes, he has written his words down, and yes, he wants to be with you, and yes, there is this like higher thing that's structuring everything in the universe and giving order and giving purpose and meaning and all that. It's just that you're both thinking about it partially. And what you're failing to see is that Jesus is like all of that, like pull all of that together. That yes, there is a Logos. His name is Jesus. And that would have made no sense to them. And I read somewhere that said that that's probably why John spends the next 20 chapters explaining it over and over and over again to help them understand, like, this is exactly what's happened. And so there is this like really powerful thing that happens here in this moment where we're saying like, okay, this all powerful God who has existed from the beginning of time, who has like that kind of like creativity and authority that is giving structure to all these things, that this God that it seems there was just this like I'm having a hard time like figuring out how to say it, but all that stuff that we really can't even figure out took on flesh and became a person. Why would that happen? Like, why would that make any sense? Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It would have made more sense to the Jewish community because that phrasing of dwelt among us is the same phrasing that's used to talk about the temple and the tabernacle in the story. So if you go back into the Old Testament, if you go to the very beginning, Adam, Eve, God in the garden, everything is wonderful. Adam and Eve rebel against God and choose their own way. They think that they could do a better job. They sin. That creates a separation between them and God. And so God is with them, and now he's not with them. And that launches them on this whole trajectory of the story that takes off. And that's part of what we'll sing through and talk about tonight. There comes a point later in the story where God has established his people in Israel, and he has them build a tabernacle. And that tabernacle is a place where God is going to come and dwell with them. It's the same wording that's used here. And so they build this tabernacle, and God comes and he dwells with them. And as Israel traveled, the tabernacle, they could like, it was mobile. It didn't sound like it was very easily mobile, but they would pack up the tabernacle and they would bring it with them. And everywhere they would go, and they would set it back up again, and God would show up. And that was the theme, is that, hey, God has not abandoned you. He's not left you. So even though man is rebellious and sinful, God's desire is still to be with us. And so he said, here's how it's going to happen. You build a tabernacle, I'll show up. So they built a tabernacle, God shows up. And as Israel grew and got established and things like that, and God says, okay, now it's time to have a permanent structure. No more temporary tabernacle things. We're going to go permanent building. And so they built the temple. And so God's presence was with them, moved from the tabernacle to the temple. And then John is writing in a time when that's exactly how it still works. They would go to the temple, and that's where God was with them. That's how they, everything that they knew about it. And then the word becomes flesh and dwells among us. And so you're seeing this dissonance here of like, okay, well, so is God with us in the temple, or is God with us in the, like in Christ? And there's all kinds of interesting things that happen there, and a lot of things with the temple. But what I want us to really grab onto, though, is that theme of God saying, I want to be with my people. I don't want to be separate from my people. I want to be with my people. And so he has this like this kind of like literary device kind of thing where like he keeps like showing up and showing up and showing up, and then Jesus is born. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And all throughout Jesus' ministry, he's kind of telling them, like, hey, the temple is been pointing to something bigger. The temple has been pointing to me. To get you ready for God to dwell among you and to be with you and to be for you. And so it's this biblical theme that keeps showing up over and over and over again as God's like, no, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you. And so now the word has become flesh and is dwelling among them. It's literally to tabernacle among them. It's this reality that I don't know that we fully grasp. I don't think they fully grasp it, but it's there throughout the whole Bible. If you keep going, it's when after the crucifixion, the resurrection, and Jesus ascends to heaven, sends the Spirit, then the Spirit fills us. And so now it's like we are the dwelling place of God. We are the temples of God. And so all that to say this, if we're talking about biblical themes, one of them during Advent is that God is the victor. And the battle has already been won through the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus. There is no battle yet to be fought. It is done. The other theme is God saying, what I want to do is to be with my sons and be with my daughters. And so when the word became flesh and dwelt among us, it was the end of the temporary tabernacle and the structure of the temple, and it was the beginning of a whole new world of God being with us. So it says, go back to the verse, the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father. There's a part in the Exodus story, wherein Moses is like, I want to see your glory. Glory is the weight of honor that comes with the presence of God. And if you remember, Moses is like, I want to see it. I want to see you for who you are. And he's like, actually, that would just destroy you, pretty much. So he like hides him in the cleft of the rock and covers, God covers him with his hand. You know, he gets to see his back, you know, kind of thing. There's this longing to like, no, we want to see it, we want to see it, we want to see it. And John is saying, if you want to see what God's like, we've seen it in Jesus himself. Like, we've seen the glory of God. Like, read the gospel accounts. Like, this is showing us what the glory of God looks like. that the this mysterious, like unknown, like kind of intangible sort of sense of God, like we know exactly what God is like because we've seen it in Christ. We see God's glory in how Jesus lived. We see it in him showing us what the kingdom looks like. We see it in him constantly showing us what on earth as it is in heaven really, really means. So it says, we've seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and full of truth. That by God coming and dwelling among us, he's like, hey, I want you to know exactly what God is like. So I'm going to show you. And so the grace and the truth that he was full of, he told us the truth about God. You know, and in our world, there's a lot of opinions about God, a lot of trying to take the Bible and say, well, the Bible isn't this, and it's really this, or it isn't saying this, it's really saying this. A lot of criticism, a lot of all these kinds of things. And I think that sometimes for us, it's hard to navigate how many experts are coming our way all the time. And one of the simple things we do is we come back to this verse and say, okay, according to what the Bible is saying, Jesus has revealed who God is to us. He's told us the truth about who God is. And so when you read a story about Jesus dealing with someone who comes to them with their with their problems or with their questions or whatever it is, and you see Jesus being kind and compassionate and patient, you see him knowing exactly what to say and how to say it. You see him not dismissing the children, but saying, no, bring them to me. You see all those things that we love about him. And he's saying, yeah, that's what God's like. God's like this. When someone comes to Jesus and they ask to be healed, he's saying, yeah, this is not what you were created for. So he heals them. He shows us the heart of God, and he shows us what heaven on earth looks like. He's just revealing these things all the time. He's telling us the truth about God, about ourselves, about the human condition, about our inability to fix ourselves and heal ourselves, how we all want peace. We're in the week of peace. We all want the broken things in our lives be put back together again, and as much as we try, we just can't do it. And he comes and he's like, I'm going to tell you the truth about stuff. The world is full of people who are lying to you. I can't sit by and just let you get lied to over and over and over again. So the Word became flesh and dwelt among us and showed us the glory of God, the weightiness of his presence. He reveals to us what the Father is like because he's the one and only Son from the Father. He says, I'm going to tell you the truth, and my grace is going to be sufficient for you. Full of grace and full of truth. And so in his grace, he did what we could not do for ourselves. He lived the life we could not live. He became the sacrifice for us. He showed us what true love looks like, and that sacrificial love of his, just, man, full of grace, full of truth. Ephesians 2 says it this way, God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. And so the Word became flesh, dwelt among us, showing us who God is, showing us who we are, doing what we could not do, laying his life down so that we could be free and live forever. And that same truth is going forward for us. His grace is sustaining us and will sustain us. And as the future unfolds, whatever that may bring, whether the world gets crazy for a while or it gets really peaceful for a while, no matter who is leading things, no matter who is at war or who is at peace, no matter what, this, that grace is just there doing what it does. And he's looking at us and saying, just be faithful. People need to know what you know. Take it to them. Take it to them. That's why, in part, that's why the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He's been incredibly kind to us. And for us to be able to grab onto that biblical theme of him wanting to be with us to the point where he would come in person and make it happen, that is a part of what Advent and Christmas time together are celebrating and are all about. And I hope that you are like tracking along with that. I hope that you are blessed by that. And so we're just going to sing some good Jesus Came for Us songs today as we wrap up. We have communion as an option every Sunday as a response. That's maybe not the tradition that you grew up in, but it's just something we have as a possibility. You don't have to take it. You may want to come and kneel and pray. You might just want to sing some of these songs to celebrate the fact that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And the fact that he's continuing to dwell among us now through his Spirit. It's pretty awesome. So let's stand together, and we're going to sing and just respond for a few minutes before we go. Let me pray for us. Lord, we thank you that that you did not leave us alone, that you did not leave us to figure things out without you, that you didn't that you didn't want to stay separate. In the beginnings of the Bible, we see you giving those first indications that you know exactly what you're going to do about it. And that through the tabernacle, through the temple, those were all pointing toward this greater reality that we are able to celebrate now. That you as the Logos, you as the eternally existing creator and sustainer of all, that Jesus, you became a person and you came and dwelled among us. We thank you for the ways that you have brought us the truth. We thank you for the ways you brought us your grace. God, may it help us to all really think through our own relationships with you and the ways that you're dwelling with us now, that we may see the love of your self-sacrifice, that we may see the links you're willing to go to be with your sons and be with your daughters. And may we sing and pray and really just be able to celebrate the fact that you have come and you're with us now and that we will always be together. We love you, and I pray this in your name. Amen. All right, you can come to the communion table whenever you're ready. Let's just sing a little bit this morning before we go.